Mark chapter 4. This morning, the title of our sermon this morning is Your Dirt Doing Its Duty? Is Your Dirt Doing Its Duty? I am humbled by the presence of an Almighty God this morning. It is amazing for me to be able to stand and preach in the presence of one so great. What an honor it is to serve Him. And I thank Him yet for another opportunity here this morning. As you found your text in Mark chapter 4, we'll begin with verse 3 through 8, and then we'll be moving on to verses 14 through 20. But I want to share with you a story that you may be familiar with. There was a lady who had been married 4 times. Excuse me. And the first husband she had was a millionaire. The second husband she had was a movie star. The third husband she had was a minister. The fourth husband she had was a mortician. Well, one day she was asked, after she had lived longer than these 4 together, she was asked a question. She said, ma'am, she said, you had 4 husbands. One was a millionaire, the second one was a movie star. The third one was a minister, and the fourth one was a mortician. So can you elaborate on your selection of these 4? She very simply told him, she said, well, 1 for the money, 2 is for the show, 3 is to get ready, and 4 is to go. This morning, this symbolizes this text this morning with the number 4. I want to keep your attention this morning as close as we possibly can in prayer in just a moment that God will have our undivided attention and that there will be a hedge put about us that will protect us from Satan or any satanic things because they are in America as well as third world countries. So this morning, let's look at the text together in Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 3. Hearken, behold. There went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Now look with me at verse 14 as Jesus himself in this first parable that he is giving, he gives the answers and answers to our questions this morning in what this parable actually means. Verse 14, the Bible says, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, and where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, as we bow our souls before you this morning, God, I am so thankful and so grateful that I am able to be a part of the ministry that you have put in place here. God, I am just so humbled this morning in your presence to know that I am able to come and worship, not worship, but worship you, Lord, the Father of heaven, the King of our hearts, and the way through eternal life. God, may you this morning not step on toes, but pierce the heart of man, that we together would be humbled and privileged to be called your children. Father, may we honor you now by the preaching of the word, and may you bless it. Lord, may you breathe on us the Holy Spirit of God, that we can surely leave Lebanon Church this morning and drive out in the rain and leave this place and say, you know what? God was there this morning. And I witnessed and saw His power. And I felt His presence as it warmed my heart. God, would you show us that now? Because without you, we are nothing. But with you, Lord, there is nothing that cannot be done. Father, may you empower us now to do thy work and thy will. And Lord, we will thank you and praise your name. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ I ask these things. Amen. This morning, Jesus has done a test here. And when I went, I only went to 1 year of college. And then, of course, I had the notion that I would go make some money, get engaged to Leslie, and I'd be back. Well, I did everything except go back. Well, there, I was studying civil engineering to get an associate's degree there at Florence Darlington Tech. And one of the things that was required of you was to learn soil. You know, a part of excavation. You needed to know your dirt. And here what has happened is Jesus has done some soil samples. And there, as we know it, we don't call it soil in these parts. We call it dirt. It's dirt. And, you know, and God made dirt, and dirt won't hurt, right? But I will tell you this morning, there are some kind of dirts that will hurt. Now, it's not made of God, but it is made of man. And this morning, I want you to look very closely at this text, because this is a continuation of last week's service. I just stood in awe and bragged on God throughout the entire week, and maybe that's just a part of my humbleness, is because I don't know how many people, and nor should I know exactly. But there were some 100 people I saw last Sunday morning knelt down on their faces before an almighty God. Boy, if you weren't here last Sunday, you picked the wrong one to miss. Friend, looky here, it wasn't me, and if anybody knows it wasn't me, it's me. But I will tell you this here, we preached on John 3:16 on that verse, and God moved in such a mighty way at the moment, at the very moment of our altar call. People were in lines flocking the aisle, and from that door to that door, and 5, 6, 7 people deep knelt down throughout the aisles and in their pews, they were praying before an almighty God for various reasons, and only God knows the heart. But see, what I want to do this morning is have a spin off of that. See, without good dirt, what God did will not help you, it will hurt. See, God blessed in such a mighty way. But see, God has already done and took soil samples, and He has come to a conclusion that there are 4 different kinds of dirt. And inside this sanctuary this morning, in a crowd this size, there is 4 different kinds of dirt. One is the wayside dirt. The second is the stony dirt. The third is the thorny dirt. And the fourth is good dirt. And God has already made this evaluation with His intelligence, with all that He is. He has already concluded there are 4 different kinds. The question and the problem we have to work through this morning is, what kind of dirt bag are you? Dirt. Did I say bag? I didn't mean to say that out loud. But this morning we have to figure that out, church. And you know what? By the power and the reading and by the listening of the Word of God, you're going to know exactly what kind of dirt you are before you leave this church, and you're going to know what to do with it before you leave it. Amen. Aren't you excited about that? Don't matter where you are, it's matter where you're at when you leave here. Come on, church. Amen. Now, I'm going to need some amens this morning, even if it hurts. Okay? Now, and listen, if there's some old me's, ring them out. Because, listen, the only thing that's going to set you free is the truth. So let's try and find it this morning. Look with me now on the reverse type of soul. Look with me. You will see a parallel. And I don't want you to try to keep up with this. But when you look at this text in chapter 4, you will see that where I read from in the first part of this text runs a parallel in the second part of the text. So you will see wayside dirt in verses 4 and 15. Now, this morning I want to give with you, with these four different kinds of dirt, I want to give to you first what the dirt represents. Secondly, I want to give to you the reason that it is the kind of dirt that it is. And thirdly, I want to give you the result of what this dirt is because of what you are. Can I give that to you this morning? Are you with me? Say amen. All right, here we go. The first kind of dirt, the first type that he has come up with in verse 4 is the wayside dirt. Now, very clearly this morning, now is it kind of warm in here? Is it just me? It's kind of hot, ain't it? Let's crack the door, Todd, if we can. There we go. Just crack the door. Hey, and Brother Waddell, crack that door back there so we'll get a little draft. Hey, start throwing your hands in the air a little bit when you think it's cool enough, okay? Kind of like that there, all right? When it's cool enough, you do like this right here, and I might think you're getting all spiritual on me, okay? All right, here we go. Look at the first dirt this morning, the wayside dirt. Now, what I want you to do is look very closely at this. He says in verse 4, he says that it came to pass, he sowed some that fell by the wayside. Now, the wayside kind of dirt is the dirt that is due to a lot of traffic. Now, think about this for a minute. Let me draw you a picture, and we'll use this throughout the whole sermon. Imagine a field. We've all are accustomed to fields. We live in the country, most of us. If not, you drive through the country to get to this church. So you're familiar with it. Now, you will notice in pretty well any given field, there is a road that normally goes around the field or splits the field. Therefore, it is a high-trafficked area. You will see where trucks drive through there, where tractors drive through there. And what happens is it makes the ground beneath it compacted, and what it does is make it hard. This is called the wayside dirt, okay? Now, in that case, you will also see that sometimes there are dirt when you are tilling with your tilling, because, you know, we know that planting time is coming. And in most gardens, a lot of people just use Good Friday as a day to plant, all right? Right before Easter. A lot of times that's a good time, but sometimes there's always that frost that comes a week or two after Good Friday, so a lot of people will wait a couple weeks after Good Friday to actual plant, because you plant prematurely to that last frost we're going to get, it's going to kill your crop. A lot of people variate, but Good Friday is a good time where people kind of use to alert them it's time to start planting in the ground and plant seed. Now, that being said, we plant, so what do? There are areas that we till or plow, or even cultivate. So what we're trying to do is break the ground up in order that we are able to break up the stony ground where there may be rocks beneath the surface, and also the thorny ground which produces weeds or thistles, or how about fork grass? That's from the devil, amen? Amen. You mow it and it comes right back up when you get across the yard. It's the thing, I've just never understood it. It's the devil, it's got two horns, right? So there it is. But I'm telling you, that's from the devil. Now the other thing is this, how about nut grass in a garden? How many of you are familiar with that term, this nut grass in the garden? That's from Satan himself. He comes and plants that in your garden when you leave. I'm telling you right now, and what it will do is it will absolutely kill your crop. So that is the thorny ground. It's what comes up and chokes out the seed, the crop that you have. Now, the fourth one, of course, is good ground. Now, we all know what good ground is. We just need to get there before we leave here this morning, all right? So now that you have a picture of this garden, you've got this implanted in your mind, let's go forward. Now, the wayside dirt is a dirt because of a lot of traffic. We've identified that. But I also want you to see here, the result of this, or let me say, the reason for this is because it has a lot of traffic. But let me back up for a minute. I skipped my first part. It represents a hard heart. Now, this morning, how many of you know someone who has a hard heart? Have you ever seen anybody who's cold and indifferent, who doesn't seem like nothing moves them? Even when Mufasa died in Lion King, they didn't cry. That's a hard-hearted person. I'm telling you, if you've seen that for the first time and you didn't cry, you need to be on the altar this morning, okay? All right, now the other thing is this, or how about Old Yeller? Old Yeller? Yeah, Old Yeller. If you didn't cry with Old Yeller, you need to come right now. We'll wait on you. Right now. Come on. Now, the other thing is this. So the wayside dirt is a hard heart. And the reason is because it has a lot of traffic. Now, think about this for a minute. A lot of people who are cold and indifferent, it doesn't mean they were born that way. It means that through the course of their life, a lot of people have walked and stomped and trampled all over their heart. Amen? There are some of you here this morning just like that. You are stone cold. and that you are a product of high traffic upon your heart. Therefore, you have a wayside ground, your heart. Understand this morning that the sower is the one who is presenting the message, whether it be teaching, preaching. Now, also, the seed is the Word of God. All right? And the soul is your heart. So you've got a sower, you've got the seed, and you've got the soil. You've got the sower, the seed, and the soil this morning. Now, that being said, we have a hard heart due to traffic. Now, the result of that is this. The seed cannot penetrate unplowed soil. Think about it for a minute. If I were to give you a seed this morning, you put it in the palm of your hand, will it ever penetrate the palm of your hand? No, but if you open your fingers, it'll go down between, right? The seed will not penetrate it. So what does the Bible say happens now when seed is sown? See, this morning, as I am preaching the Word of God, I'm throwing seed all the way across this congregation. It's falling all over you. All over you. If you're here this morning, it's falling on you. Anytime you hear a gospel message on the radio, seed is falling down in the cab of your car. Anytime you sit at home and watch TV, well, I don't know if any seed comes out a lot of what goes on TV. Amen. We need to talk about that. We really need to sit down and talk. We need to have a message one day on who you need to listen to on the TV and who you don't need to listen to on the TV. Amen. That sermon's coming. Brother Mike, you preach that one. All right. Now, here's the thing. Because it undermines a lot of what we're trying to do here. You don't know which way to go. You don't know if you're going or coming. You just hope you get there soon. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Because of that, I want to share something very significant with you. Are you with me this morning? Listen to this. Now, when the bird comes down in verse 4, also in verse 15, the symbolism of Satan is the fowl of the air. He is a ravenous bird who comes. And what does he do? The Bible says immediately the seed is sown on you, and immediately the fowl of the air, which represents Satan, comes to your wayside ground and takes the seed up. Watch this. The bird is a symbol of Satan, but what happens every time a fowl or the bird of the air lands on the ground? He either leaves a footprint, feces, or feather wherever he lands. When Satan comes to your heart, a lot of the time it's camouflaged and you realize it's not there anymore. It's because he leaves something instead of the Word of God that he's there. So you mean to tell me this morning that when Satan comes immediately... Now, Satan's not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time. He's not God. Now, a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven, so he has a following. Also, the world is his people. You had an allegiance and belonged to Satan before you got saved. There is no in-between. Remember that. You're either for him or you're against him. I didn't make the rules. I'm just a messenger this morning. But it's the truth. So, at one time in my life, I walked and served Satan. He was my father. And through me, he was able to use me to take away someone else's seed. And I've done it many times. You have too. Watch this, church. When you leave here, let me show you Satan using you. When you leave here, and you no more get in the parking lot, and you're talking about somebody in church, he just got your seed. When you get in your car and you start arguing about whether or not you're going to her parents or your parents or what you're going to eat, you just got your seed. Here's the truth. There are a lot of people who came down here last Sunday morning who it fell on good ground. But there are some people who it fell on all four types of stuff. Some of you, what happened here last Sunday morning, you no more even got home and it was gone. And Satan came with either the demons or his following or someone else, and he can use you. He took the seed, and when he was there, he don't just take the seed, he leaves something in its stead. Or else you would know it was missing. What's he leaving there? What's he leaving, church, when he's there and he's taking away the good seed? He replaces seed with seed. And he's planting in you the same very thing he just done to you. Watch. Deceitful. He just planted it on your heart. So, We need to be careful of the wayside seed. I can't tell you how many times I've left church and got in an argument a little bit with my wife on things. Not since I've been preaching. Okay, because I'm perfect since I started preaching, right? But the thing is this. I can't tell you how many times. And church, I want you to be honest with me just for a minute. I want to know how many real, true Christians we got in here. How many of that's ever happened to you? Before you ever got home, the blessing was gone from the service. Throw them up. Oh, me. Put them down. Guess what just happened? It fell on hard ground. It wasn't able to penetrate because that part of your heart is hard because of the traffic of life. Satan came as a ravenous bird, as a fowl of the air, took a seed and left one in its stead. Know every time that happens, he just took your seed and left one. Every time. Remember that, not only this day, but forever. Number two, he says that the second type of dirt in verse 5 and 6, and also in verse 16 and 17 as they run a parallel, is type 2 dirt. It is the stony dirt. May I share with you what it represents? The wayside dirt represents a hard heart. The stony dirt represents a hurt heart. What is stone? Where does it come from? It's rock. Where does rock come from? It is an accumulation over time of the earth's crust with water and heat mixed, and it forms a hard, rocky, stony surface. But what happens in this stony dirt is you've got just enough religion, just enough Jesus to cover that layer of rock in your life that no one sees the rock bed that you've got in your heart. You know about it because the stony dirt comes from within and goes out. The thorny comes from the outside in. See, you are very well aware now of the hard ground in your life. Number two, you are well aware of the stony ground in your life because where does stone come from? Over an accumulation of bad relationships. You have been hurt. You've been burnt. Therefore, you have some rocks in your heart. Now, mind you now, it didn't happen overnight, but it's accumulation of the earth's dirt with the heat and the water. The water comes in, and you've seen it. The water comes in and mixes with the soil and makes a compaction and bonds these molecules together. And with the heat, it tempers that and makes a hard rock or stone. Same thing happened in their heart, those who have a stony heart here this morning. Over time, heat, bad relationships, something has come and bruised and hit your heart, and it made a clot. And over time, it has made a very hard, rocky surface in which now that little bit of soil that you've got covering it does not allow the seed to take root. The Bible says very clearly that as the sun cometh down and beats upon it. See, the seed develops very quickly because the soil is very shallow. See, we have some people who have hearts that are very shallow. Now, think about this for a minute. If you are here this morning and your heart has been hurt by someone else, raise your hands this morning if someone's ever hurt your heart. Hands all over the building. Do you know what that forms in your heart? A hard place. It forms a hard place. Let me give you an example. We've been in relationships before. We've all probably dated more than the one we're with today. You've been hurt before by a girl or a guy. I've been dumped before. Oh, I bet she's wishing now she wasn't dumped. My humbleness just went out the window. Oh, listen, I'm doing the preaching. But here's the thing. No, I'm just kidding. But the thing is this. The thing is this. I've been hurt before. I got dumped. And when I got dumped, it really made me shy away from my next relationship. And you know what happens a lot of time in our relationships? Maybe you might have had a bad relationship. Maybe there's been death in your family, and you blame God. You lost your job, you blame God. Guess what happened in your heart every time that happened? You're forming a rock. You're forming a hard surface just beneath the soil where no one else can see it, but you are well aware of it. And what's happened is, when now the Word of God this morning that I am sowing out to you falls down on your stony heart, what's going to happen is, very quickly, it's going to take root. And just as sun comes, or watch this, the conflict, the Bible says, when something conflicts what you've heard and what's been planted, the sun comes out, and listen, when we get in heated situations, what happens? Just like that, it withers away. It's gone. I will tell you, just the other day, when that fellow, my wife, rear-ended that guy in that Mitsubishi Eclipse, I'm going to tell you right now, church, this young fellow, he got out, he cussed my wife, I mean with vulgarity, enticed her, tried to get her to get out of the car because he wanted to fight. My youngins is in the car. And the very thing I protect them from, he's sitting there just filling their mind and polluting them with this vulgarity. Telling my wife, come on, get out of the car. And what you know of all day, she left her cell phone at the house. She's always got it with her. But see, God worked that out. Let me tell you why. Because I didn't get there to the end. See, at first he didn't take an ambulance, but later on he said, I think I'll take one. You know how that works. Everybody wants something for nothing. And they put him in the ambulance, put him in a stretcher, and when I finally got there, because she was emotional just because she had been in the wreck, she was emotional because this guy was trying to get her to get out of the car and fight. And this guy's not even thinking about the ramifications of it. But he's just out there just saying, he don't think she's married. But see, here's the thing. If I had some places in my heart that were rocky and hard, listen to me, church, bad relationships, it's an accumulation now. It's not just one time. It's not just today and tomorrow it's there. No, it's an accumulation over time. It comes upon you so slowly, you don't realize it. It's like the frog in the water, remember? You can take a pot of water, set it on the stove, fill it up with water, put it on there. If you bring that water to a boil and throw that frog in there, that frog will jump right out of that water, right there. But if you take that frog, you put him in cool water, put him on the stove, and bring the heat up real slow, he'll stay in the water and die. Same thing happens with a stony heart, church. Hear me this morning. It's an accumulation of sediments over time that create this hard crust right beneath the soil, and the seed cannot take root. But let me tell you, church, on my best day, I'm a man. I'm not only a preacher, but I'm a daddy. I'm not just a daddy, I'm a husband. And I got an instinct of survival and to protect my family at all costs. Lay down my life for them. Work, bust my knuckles, sweat, do whatever I got to do to provide for them. But I'm going to tell you what, when some punk stands up outside of the car and he starts cussing my wife and my youngin' and wanting her to fight, he need to pick on somebody his own side. Because I'll give him a Mac attack like he ain't never seen. Amen? Listen. But see, God worked it out. You want to know how God worked it out? She forgot her cell phone. Truth. I can't blame her. God knew what to do because it would be in the Effingham Gazette or the Effingham Observer, preacher at Lebanon Church does something bad, you know? Huh? Preacher at Lebanon Church, just freshly ordained, gives fresh counsel to individual. Lays him down as if in baptism. You know, all kind of things, you know? It's just different kind of things. Don't think it didn't run through my head, church. Listen to me this morning. I'm open and honest with you. We ought to be open and honest with one another. Confession is good for the soul. When I climbed that hill, I can tell you right now, I shouted glory to God because here's the thing. He was already in the stretcher in the ambulance when I got there. They saved me a job. See what I'm saying? So the Lord worked all that out. But listen, had there been some hard places under the soil of my heart, guess what happens? The seed of God in my heart to be a preacher, not be a striker, to do the will of God and the work of God could have been very easily ruined. My testimony could have been hurt beyond repair. God knew what He was doing. Thank God He's in control and I am not. Listen, I don't know what you got in your heart today. You might have a bag of rocks. But I'm going to tell you, friend, you need to let God cultivate it this morning and break up that fallow ground. He cannot put the infallible Word of God in a ground that is fallow. It can't be tilled. That brings us to our third point. Thorny dirt. The Bible says, look at verse 7 and verses 18. The Bible very clearly says, and some fell among thorns. Here I'm throwing some more seed this morning. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Now look, will you look with me at verse 18? Very important. Verse 19 as well. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Now watch the wording in verse 19 very closely. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Watch this. Entering in the present moment, as the word of God has been sown, these things begin to enter into the heart along with the seed. And watch this. And chokes the word. It could not. Watch. This goes to show that there has been a good... Now, watch this very closely. The heart is pure. The heart is clean. It says here very clearly that it says that the word, the seed has been thrown. So the seed is there first. It's been cultivated. There is no stone. There's time for the seed to take root into the earth and do its proper job. But very clearly the Bible says that these things come in and choke the word. The word is the seed. So what happens is it chokes the word and it becometh unfruitful. I'll tell you the most aggravating thing when I plant a garden, and I'll get some tips from Brother Raymond. Raymond Hearns, he's a garden planter now, let me tell you. Amen? Well, if you don't say amen to that, you're not welcome to eat at the next men's fellowship when he brings some stuff. He brings some good stuff, amen, right out of the garden. But I'll grow my tomatoes in my garden. And them babies are pretty, pretty. I run them better boys. I like them better boys. They run them and do them. And all of a sudden, I'll go out there one day, and they're just about ready to pluck. And the next morning, the bottoms is rotted out of them. You know that disease that gets in them? And man, I'm like, what happened overnight? But I will tell you, it didn't happen just overnight that those bottoms were rotted out. There was something already there choking that fruit out. And what happens in this is when the Word of God is sowed in you, it takes root, it has stability, we allow the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of lust to come in and choke out our seed that it does not produce good fruit. It's unfruitful, the Bible says. So what happens here? Now here goes the result, or let me give you this, what this represents. This represents a hindered heart. We have on the wayside a hard heart. The stony dirt is a hurt heart, and the thorny dirt is a hindered heart. It is hindered because there is a substitution of God in our lives. See, any time we put anything before God and make God even second best, we are now treading on thorny ground. Think about Peter for a minute. Peter is out with the disciples, and they're in the boat together. And Jesus comes walking across the water. Peter looks out there and he says, "Jesus, can I come out there with you?" I'm paraphrasing. He said, "Can I come out there with you?" He said, "Yeah, come on." Oh, the only one out of the 12 willing to get out on the water. The only man that's ever walked on water. He gets out and begins to walk on water, but guess what happens? He begins to substitute his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for fear. And any time we take anything of this life, any concern or anything of this world, and but let me tell you what happens when you worry, church. I do it. You do it. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. But when you worry about everything, you have all of a sudden taken your faith and you placed it second, if that, and you put worrying on top of the list. How can you have faith in God and really truly believe He's going to do it and take care of everything, but yet be worrying? How can you be scared you're always going to mess up? And I always do. I'm guilty of this, church. But how, if I put my fear and I'm more worried about messing up or making a mistake, I've now taken my fear and I've put it in first place and put my faith in second place. Do you see how easy that happens? What happens when that happens? That allows the father of deception to come in and work and maneuver through your fear and through your worry. Because remember, faith is not first. So what happens now? What happens with Peter when he put his fear over his faith? The fruit of his life and the testimony of a man being able to walk on water finishes with this, that he began to sink. Guess what happens in your Christian life when you take your faith and you move it into second place or third place or fourth place, and you replace it with the other things that have entered in, the Bible says, from the outside in, and it's choking out the Word of God in your life. It becomes unfruitful, and you begin to sin. But thou, our God, who is merciful, reaches out and takes you by the hand. He says, oh, ye of little faith. Keep your eyes. See, anytime we take our eyes off of Jesus, we are putting Him in some placement other than first. What just happened, you're walking on thorny ground, church. And because of that, you are allowing these things. Watch this. Slowly but surely. Will nut grass or fork grass come in and just choke out your crop overnight? No. But you give it enough time, you'll see where it will prosper and the other will perish. But now you take and go out and you cultivate and you clean that nut grass around there and you hold your garden clean. What happens all of a sudden? A lot of time by the end of the day or first thing in the morning, on the morning dew, that crop is standing back up and it looks rather healthy. And it's because you cultivated out those things that have entered in. The Bible says very clearly in 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, For the love of money is the root of all evil. Did you know that? The root of all evil. Can you imagine that? But now here we're talking about roots, aren't we? The seed also takes root, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Now that being said, the Bible finishes in conclusion in this verse like this, which while some coveted after, they have erred from their faith. Remember now, you were there at one time. Now you've erred away from it. You've let the lust of this world and the concerns of this world come in and take away what it is you want to have. You want to know why you're so much on fire when you get saved? Talk to me, church. Listen to me. You ever seen somebody first get saved? You remember how you were when you first got saved? You are not even near the Christian you were when you got saved. You may be in spiritual growth, but not in your zeal. Not in your zeal. You do not carry the forwardness of mind and the zealous personality you had when you got saved. You want to know why? Because when you got saved, watch what God did. He wiped away everything in your heart. He cultivated your field. Your dirt was good ground. And only thing there was planted at that very moment of conception is He planted the Word of God in you. And there was nothing. There was no fork grass. There was no nut grass. And watch what's happened since then. We've allowed things to come in. And it hadn't killed our crop because we're still kind of surviving. But we are struggling and suffering. And we are dying a slow death. And church, I would tell you this morning, you want to know why we're not as zealous as we once were? Because the Word of God is not the only thing in our hearts anymore. It's the truth. You want the truth, that's the truth. It's not the only thing in our hearts anymore. But what can we do about this? The seed cannot prove itself in occupied soil. It's choking and killing the crop. See, I can remember, I'll share that with you in a minute. Let me share this one verse with you. Now, I've told you three souls, and I'm going to conclude with the fourth one as we get wind down here. What's going to happen to us now? The bad souls here is hard ground, the wayside ground. The second soil is a stony ground. You've been hurt, and it's been an accumulation over time, and you've got a rock bed in your heart right beneath the soil. And anything that God tries to plant there withers away with conflict or the first little bit of heat. Thirdly, you have a thorny ground, which the Word of God's been planted, but because we've allowed other things to enter in and pierce and take root, we have lost our zeal and our forwardness of mind. We're still making it and kind of maintaining it. But it's just like an engine when it starts to run out of oil. It'll run a little while and smoke and putt and make its way down the road. But eventually it's going to lock up and leave you standing. You can only run this course a matter of time. We cannot make it without God. We will not make it without God. And I will not go forward without God. It has to be His way or no way. But that being said, what are we going to do now? We see where there is a hard heart, a hurt heart, And can I tell you something this morning from this pulpit? Just inject this like they do in a good Christmas turkey. There are hurt hearts in this church. You've been hurt. And that is your defense when it comes time to do business with God. Some of us have hard hearts. And here's the truth. You know it. Thirdly, we have hearts that are hindered. They prohibit us from going forward with God. Now, I want to look at Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Let me read this to you. The Bible says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." How about it, church? Can we break up the fallow ground this morning? Sure we can. Sure we can. I can remember a story of Lewis Lee. Lewis Lee is probably one of the most famous farmers who even lived in our era in Effingham. He's passed on now. But he's just a famous, famous farmer in this area. And I can remember asking him one day, I said, "How about it, Lewis?" He was out there turning over some peanuts, lightning fresh peanuts. I said, "How about some of them peanuts there? Can I get just a little bit? Make me some boiled peanuts?" It might have been Steeda. But the good news is now he ain't here and they ain't going to charge him for it. And I got saved since then, so we're all right. Rededicated. Got it right. Thing is this. I said, "How about some of them peanuts, Lewis?" He said, "Sure. Get you a little bit there just to make you a pop." But see, do you know, church, this, that a long time ago, the greatest farmer who has ever lived and still is, made a trip from heaven. He came to earth not to be ministered to, but to minister, to plant the Word. He came and He planted that Word. And do you know that He drives the biggest and the baddest farm all you have ever seen? Amen? There's got to be a farm all because he's not selective where he farms. He farms all. But as he drives that big old farm all, he's got a set of cultivators behind that farm all. And when he came, he run him some furs in Jerusalem. And he planted the seed, listen, that has produced a crop of grace that is still being fruitful over 2,000 years later. I've been able to be a partaker of that crop he planted then. Have you ever taken part? If you have you allowed things of this world to come in and not necessarily choke your seed, but is it choking your seed? See, remember now, it's going to be a slow death. You're not going to realize it until it's finished. But I will tell you this, as the Lord Jesus Christ, and I stand here proclaiming and professing the Word of God, every time I've ever approached Him about His field, He said, "Take as much as you'd like. It's been paid for a long time." He didn't say, "Get a little bit." He said, "Get all you can take. No, you don't deserve it, but because I got on the cross and stayed there until it was finished," He said, "be partakers, because I have paid the ransom for me." And He says this morning to you and to me, you may not even realize what it is that's in your heart. But He said there's nothing ever wrong with getting a good cultivation, breaking up the fallow ground, and allowing the righteousness of God to flood your soul. And this morning, He's calling us out, church. And He is saying, "Listen to me. My church is the only institution that will make it to glory." Did you know that the church is the only institution that will ever make it to eternity? Did you know Wall Street's not going to be in heaven? Did you know all the powerhouses and the skyscrapers are not going there? But He said, "You are." The church, He said, so keep it pure and keep it righteous. And make sure when my word is sown, it falls on good ground. So this morning, church, as we have a time of invitation, I want you to stand with me as we pray this morning. You know what the dangerous thing is sometimes? You don't even know what it is that's in your heart until it surfaces. The other dangerous thing is knowing about what's there and not doing anything about it. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 12, I want to share this with you this morning. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Watch this, church. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, which is deeper than deep can get. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. How do you get a cultivated soul this morning? It is by the intent of your heart. Here are two intents as your altar call. You can do absolutely nothing. That is certainly an intent of your heart. Or you can do something this morning about it. You can say, God, try me. Test my heart this morning. And cultivate my heart as the greatest farmer who has ever lived. And I want to challenge you this morning. Would you come as we have a time of invitation for God to cultivate and clean your heart, so that when the Word of God is sown, it will be fruitful, some 30-fold, some 60-fold,